As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Doc, I will see you all tomorrow.
But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
For your chance to win a pair of tickets. Wow, what is this, Depeche?
And Chris Ello.
Egui Rosario got a couple of at-bats last year. Brent Rooker got some at-bats.
Eggy
Rosario, I said Egui.
That needs to be a promo as well.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes, yes, yes.
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Our fearless producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
And we head into hour number two of Gwen and Chris for this Wednesday get-together. Chris Ello and Sam Levitt today. The great one is in. Tony Gwynn Jr. has the week off, or most of the week off. He'll be on a flight to Cleveland with the Padres Thursday. And he'll join us from Ohio on Friday's program. Frank Marchese is in for the ailing Matt Scraby today. Day two of the Frank Marchese residency here on this program.
It's like a residency in Vegas.
That's right, Frank. This is big time.
You know what it is? He's got like a DJ residency. Yeah. You know, because he pushes buttons, he spins the dials, he plays music, he controls audio.
He takes one for the team when people are upset about the fact we haven't talked about the British Open. He takes them on.
So if you're a listener out there and you feel like, hey, you know, I've been wanting to get out to one of these great Vegas residencies, whether that's, I don't know, Usher, Celine Dion, take your pick.
Celine Dion's probably not performing at this time.
Yeah, I know. But
Poor Celine. She's had some real health problems.
I think she did have a residency.
She did
at some point.
For a long time.
Major health problems,
yeah,
so I hope she's okay.
Right.
But any of these major stars that have these residencies, well, if you feel bad, don't worry. You're listening to the Frank Marchese
residency.
San Diego residency on the board.
As a fellow New Yorker, how did you miss Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden?
Was that a residency?
Yes, that was.
No.
Yes, it was.
How long did he play there?
Once a month for about 5 years.
Yeah, but a Vegas residency.
I got to tell you, I consider it a lost opportunity in my life that I have never seen Billy Joel live.
He's great. I've seen him twice.
Well, he's one of my all-time favorites. And I have about a million of his songs on my phone.
Well, as somebody...
But I've never seen him perform.
As somebody from Long Island, I'm supposed to love Billy Joel. I like Billy Joel.
I like
Billy Joel as much as the next guy.
It's part of your New York DNA. You know? I remember his song, The Night the Lights Went Out on Broadway. Have you ever heard that one, Frank?
Miami 2027, yes.
No, Miami 2017.
That's right.
And when that song came out, though, it seemed like we'd never get to Miami 2017, and now here we are.
Did we ever, though?
Yeah, we blew past that. So, yeah, Billy Joel's all-timer, as far as I'm concerned. All right.
Well, that's just one more thing on this.
Yes.
That's another thing. Bruce Springsteen, mm-hmm. That's like a big sports writer, sports broadcaster, I feel, thing. Everybody likes Bruce Springsteen, yeah. Likes to go to the Springsteen show.
Springsteen puts on, like, the best show. He's like one of the few guys that plays for, like, 3.5 hours and doesn't take a break. Springsteen is in a class by himself when it comes to concert performing. So there you have it, Sam. Have you not seen him either?
No.
Yeah.
Nor Billy Joel.
So, Sam Levitt, what have you done with your life? You have not seen Springsteen, you've not seen Joel, and you've not golfed around competitively.
No.
What's left? What is left?
He's won Minor League Broadcaster of the Year.
That's right. He's won that. Right now, everything non-work pretty much revolves around me playing pickleball.
Oh, you are totally a pickleball guy. I thought you were kidding when you mentioned pickleball.
So the last 2 days, because I've been staying up in this Airbnb in Encinitas.
Okay.
Little background here, right? Because we haven't talked about
this. We have plenty of time, Sam. Go right ahead.
My dad is here. By the way, it's my dad's 65th birthday today.
Yeah, hey. Happy birthday, Dad.
Yes.
I don't know your dad, but I did meet your mom.
Yes.
And your mom's terrific.
Yes.
Saw her at the ball game. You housed her in the, you took care of your mom.
The Odyssey suite.
Yeah, the Odyssey suite. Yeah, when I used to bring my mom to baseball games, I didn't let her anywhere near the suite, but you had your mom right there in the suite. She's a lovely lady.
So we're staying up in an Airbnb in Encinitas, so it's my dad's birthday today. And
congratulations,
but
Dad.
So anyway.
65.
Yes.
It's a big one.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
So the last couple of days, I've went for a couple of hours to a new pickleball place of mine that I've never played, and I've had a good time. So yes, today I didn't play, but
a lot of people don't even know what pickleball is. Like, at least I know what it is.
Yeah,
and I've played tennis.
It's a racket
much
sport
in my life.
Yeah, it's a mini tennis.
I don't find pickleball. Here's my thing with pickleball. It seems like a knee surgery waiting to happen.
There is a lot of bending.
A lot of bending. Stretching and quick movements and turning.
A lot of bending.
You plant your foot, you go in the other direction,
sure.
There goes a knee.
Yeah, you're not above your waist very much at all.
No.
Whereas in tennis, it's a little bit more above your waist. Two things, and then we can move on from this. Two things that I think...
Don't let us stand in your way, Sam.
For those out there that maybe are considering pickleball or have noticed the uptick in pickleballers
in this area. That's for sure.
There are two things that are really nice about it. Number one, people of all ages can play because it's a smaller court.
You don't have to have great speed to cover a lot of ground.
You don't have to run around. And I play against people that are double my age sometimes, and they beat me. Okay? They beat me. Okay. They're more technically skilled than I am. And
wow.
Number two,
so those people, see, being as you're about 50, those got people got to be 100. Right.
Number two, there's so many places you can show up on literally a weekday morning, afternoon, weekend, whatever, yeah. And there are people there to play. It's like a pickup basketball type vibe. Seriously.
Pickup pickleball.
For those two reasons, it's pretty good.
All right. Well, there's a vote for pickleball from Sam Lovett.
Do you want me to give you some insight as to how devoted to pickleball he is?
Sure.
So what was it, last Friday you covered for Bennett Woods?
Yes.
Okay. So covers for Bennett Woods, does pre and post that night. Complains that he's tired. Wakes up the next morning and what I would have to assume would be about 7 o'clock in the morning play pickleball on Saturday.
I actually played tennis that morning, but I was
instead of sleeping.
No, sleeping's
then complains to me all night about how tired he is.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday has to be at the ballpark at like 8 o'clock to do pre and post.
Sleep in the fall.
And you know the old saying?
Then complains to me about how tired he is on Sunday.
You know the old saying, Frank, sleep when you're dead. You know, there's things to do, stuff to be done. Sam Lovett can't miss anything. All right, let's get back to some phone calls. How about that? We've already regaled people now with about 20 minutes worth of pickleball talk. Let me go to Doug down there in San Marcos. Doug, thanks for joining us. Talking about the first half of the Padres season and what we're hoping for in the second half.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, listen, first of all, I want to say thanks, Frank. Great 2 days here, buddy.
Well, thanks,
Don. All right.
Appreciate it.
And also, it's good to have Sammy aboard for a couple hours here.
Appreciate that.
It's nice. I've talked to you a few times,
Sammy. I know.
But, hey, listen, man. Look, I've been a Padre fan since 1973, so I've been around a while. And I'd like to say that the Padres had developed my ability to have a positive attitude. And what I mean by that is I don't even want to comment on the first half. It was the first half. But I think that we got the injuries. We're getting them out of the way. And we're going to bust out in the second half. That's what I want to think. And I want to think that everybody's going to come together and play as a Padre team that we know and see them come together and get us into the playoffs and, you know, hopefully take us midway, get us a little deep. But I'm trying to be positive, and I know how these Padres can be. And, man, I'm thinking back to Ozzie Smith and Dave Winfield and Randy Jones and them boys. You know, I watched them guys. I was at games, and I'm looking forward for a bust-out second half. That's all. That's all I got to say, guys.
Well, you know, Doug, looking at it from that perspective, it is certainly something that is possible. You know, look, I mean, there's some ifs attached to it. But, I mean, if Darvish comes back, I think that's might be the longest shot on the board, unfortunately, right now. Just from everything we hear about Darvish and, you know, the whatever the troubling situation that he's dealing with at home. But let's go to Musgrove. Joe Musgrove pitches Joe Musgrove for a month and a half, comes back in August. That could change everything on its own.
Yeah.
What if Manny really was just hurt the first 2.5 months and is finally now getting healthy and is ready to, you know, be the consistent Manny that he was during that 15-game stretch when they won 12 games? Mm-hmm. Tony pointed out many times, there was no accident that they won 12 out of 15 during the hottest stretch that Manny Machado's had this season.
Great point.
That goes a long way. Yeah, Bogarts, I just hope he has the second half this year that he had last year. A lot of people don't realize that Bogarts ended up last season 19 homers, 19 steals, 280. They just thought he had a terrible year. They gave up on Bogarts. He never gave up. And he kept on going, and he ended up having an okay season. If Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back in August for 2 months, he's one of the most electric players in the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all those things happen. And Profar, Higashioka, Merrill, and Waldron are just, you know, a facsimile of what they were in the first half. There's no reason that the Padres can't bust out to 7, 8, 9, 10 games over 500, and that ought to be plenty.
Yeah, I think two things. Number one, I think until some of these guys get back, whenever that is, at whatever part of, let's say, August that is, it is still going to be very much an exercise of, at minimum, just staying afloat. Look, they've got a really hard road trip coming out of the break.
Yeah, they do.
They could do great on that road trip. We've seen this team at times.
Every time we think they've got a tough road trip.
Great on the road and great against really good teams. So I would not put it past them to put together a good road trip. They got to do it. But at bare minimum, stay afloat and be ready for the final month and a half, 2 months to make the final push. I think that is at bare minimum what you're hoping for. Here's the other thing that if you want to take the very, very positive look at the second half, another, you know, feather in your cap, if you will. Forget who's healthy, who's injured, who's here, who's not, all the particulars of each guy. They have been a far different group feel-wise, fight-wise, comeback nature-wise, being able to rise to the occasion than they were last year. And I don't think, despite just being a game above 500, despite that, to me, they have felt like a very different group in that sense than a year ago. Despite being up and down, despite being a game above 500, they have felt like this team should have an ability to rise to the occasion, maybe when the lights get brightest in late August into September.
I think what Doug is, you know, pointing to is the fact that there is a huge opening there for an upswing in the second half. There just is. There's a lot. Another way of saying it, not everybody has played to their potential yet and has been healthy enough to play to their potential yet.
Yeah, but to your point.
So if they do.
Right. To your point earlier, they've also had guys playing
far
above what you thought you were going to get.
Richard Hillcrest, thanks for joining us on the Padre conversation today. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I want to tell you my first half highlight, guys. I'm a West Coast kid. I'm in my late 50s. I've never been to the East Coast. I went to go see the Padres play in Fenway Park and had the time of my life. This team is an exciting team to watch. I think for the second half, what I'm looking forward to is a strong last month and a half push. I think if we can get our guys healthy like you guys are talking about, got a darn good chance to make the playoffs and make some statements in the playoffs. Timing is everything. We all know that. But if we get things right, we got a pretty good, darn good team going in the playoffs, guys, except for the Phillies. They scare me.
Well, they should. They've had the Padres number for a while.
Yeah, I'd worry about the Phillies when you get there.
Yeah, let's worry about that when we get there. Here's the crazy thing about the playoffs. Richard, I'm glad you had a great time at Fenway Park, because I got to tell you, that is one of the highlights of all baseball, to go get to see a game at Fenway Park. I'm glad you got to do that.
And if you saw the first couple of games there, man.
Yeah, if you saw the right two games, yeah, lots of fun. The playoffs, to me, are a little broken in Major League Baseball. But while they are, it's more advantageous, believe it or not, to be the sixth seed than it is to be either the 4 or the 5 seed if you're a wild card. And frankly, the Padres are probably going to be a wild card. It's going to take something crazy for them to make up 7 games now on the Dodgers. And the reason I say that is because the 6 seed, if they win the first round, plays the 2 seed in the second round. Whereas the 4-5 winner has to play the 1 seed. And if you look, now, 2 years ago, right, the Padres were the 4-5, and they ended up beating the Dodgers anyway.
Right.
But the World Series team out of the National League the last 2 years has been the 6th seed. 2 years in a row. Diamondbacks last year, Phillies the year before that. I think baseball needs to consider reseeding for the second round. Just to, you know, so the lowest seeded team, which if the 6 wins, would have to play the 1. But that is something that, you know, Rob Manfred and company probably can't figure out. So I don't want to ask for the impossible.
Right.
But you can't try to get the 6 seed. You have to go for the 4.
No,
just in case.
Last year was a little weird, though, because so the Diamondbacks beat the Brewers in the wild card. They then played the Dodgers where they swept them. So let's say they had been the 5, they would have played the Phillies.
And then they would have gone on to play the Braves.
Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because the Braves were the one last year.
Right.
That's the way it worked. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's all much ado about nothing. But I think it's interesting that the sixth seed has made it two straight years.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea of reseeding.
Yeah, I think it
and
I
that's
think it'd be
and
good.
That's something other people have talked about, the idea of reseeding it once you get past the
right
the wild card round.
What does baseball say about that?
Well, baseball has a lot of opinions about everything. From uniforms to
baseball doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Texas was the 5 seed last year coming out of the American League, by the way, if you're wondering.
Right. So then they had to play the
They played the 4 and the 1 and they were successful knocking remember Texas beat the Orioles and swept them, and the Orioles had not been swept in a series the entire season
last year. And here's the thing. Each year is different. Let's take the every year is different. Because here's what I'll say about the Rangers last year. So they beat they were the 5, the Rangers. They beat the 4 in the wild card series.
Which was the Rays.
Right. Then they had to play the Orioles, the number 1 seed in the ALDS. I'll tell you this. If I'm the Rangers, I'd rather play a young Orioles team that's never been there than play the Astros team that was the number 2.
And they ended up having to play them also,
right?
As it turned out, in the AL Championship Series, and beat them in a series that I don't think the home team won a single game.
Like to me, the Orioles are a fascinating team this year because they're really good again. They have a year under their belt of at least being in the postseason. They should add if they're going to add. I don't know if they will because they don't seem to. You know, like making huge moves. I know they traded for Burns, but they're really interesting because they're really good.
A lot of teams are, but the baseball playoffs, and I've said this for a while, the baseball playoffs, baseball has the worst way to decide a champion based on the way its sport is played. Because you really decide who the best team is over 162 games.
Right.
You certainly don't decide it based on the outcome of 5 games. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You got to have a playoffs. I'm certainly not ready to do the Premier League thing where you just play the whole season and at the end you say, the champions are the Dodgers. They have the best record. That seems silly, too.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue that's really the way to do it. That will never happen in a billion years.
It shouldn't.
Look, the thing with the division winners, the number 1 and 2 seeds, getting the time off, unless you change the format or everybody plays some sort of first round series, I don't know how you rectify that. Then you're talking about taking away what the advantages of winning the division. But I get it in the sense of it's a sport very much about rhythm and playing every day. And then all of a sudden, right before your most important games, you're not playing for whatever it is, 4 or 5 days. I don't know what the answer to that is in this current format.
The Orioles got beat. After taking some time off last year.
The Braves got beat.
The Dodgers, the Braves. The only team that won after taking some time off last year was the Astros.
Yeah. Look, having 300-plus win teams out before the championship series.
That was strange.
It's strange. Again, good or bad, that's up to you, but strange is a good word to have for it.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Check us heading your way.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, back with more Gwen and Chris. 3:25 is the time. Chrisello, Sam Levitt is alongside today, the great one from the Padre pre and post game show. In fact, you have two people on the program today who have made great careers out of the Padre pre and post game show. Prior to you, Sam, it was me.
All right.
So, you know, there you go. And, you know, look at what's happened for both of us. I'm still sitting here. You're out, you know, being adored by millions. Frank Marchese, Big Frank, is in for the ailing Matt Scraby today.
By the way, I have breaking Padres news. You want to hear it?
I do.
I have probable pitchers for this series.
Against Cleveland.
Against the Guardians, quickly.
Yeah, let's have it. It starts Friday. The Sam Levitt pregame show at 3:10.
That's correct.
Friday afternoon.
So Friday, right-hander Matt Waldron.
Waldron gets the start,
yes,
huh?
For a reopening day, if you will. Saturday, yeah. Right-hander Dylan Cease. Sunday, right-hander Michael King.
All right.
And for the Guardians, Tanner Bibee on Friday, Gavin Williams on Saturday, Ben Lively on Sunday.
Interesting, but I just don't know a thing about any of those guys.
Bibee's good. Williams good. I think they're all pretty good.
To me, the AL Central is where players go to disappear from view. You know, especially us here in San Diego. We just have very little.
Tigers.
Yeah, we just have very little contact with the
White
American
Sox,
League Central. But I know Josh Naylor's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he'll be pumped up for the series. He was one of 10 Padres. Sorry. He was one of 10 former Padres
right. That
was suited up in the All-Star game last night. And I know a lot of people like to make a big deal out of that. You know, we let this guy get away and we let that guy get away. I'm pretty sure that every team in baseball could say the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Even the Dodgers, even the Braves, there's some former players from those teams that have gone elsewhere also.
Yeah,
it's not a situation that is only on the Padres.
I'd have to look at,
you know, I would too.
I'd have to look at the list to actually see, okay, who are the guys
that
were
actually. Well, Trey Turner's a former Dodger.
Right.
They let him get away.
CJ Abrams now in that category too.
For the Padres.
Right. That were actually
the 10 Padres.
Padre drafted or signed minor leaguers.
They had a list
in their system.
They had a list in the paper today, and I didn't memorize it, but you know, Abrams, Trey Turner, to me, it's fugazi to keep talking about how I wish we had Trey Turner. You had Fernando Tatis Jr. And if you know what I mean? Or if you had Trey Turner, you would have never got Fernando Tatis Jr. Right?
And Max Fried. There are a
but
number
my
of
point,
them.
My point on Trey Turner is if you would have kept him in the system and, you know, made it to the major leagues as the Padres shortstop, fine, you'd have Trey Turner, but you'd have never traded for Fernando. So, you know, all of these things, every domino falls and has an effect on another domino down the road.
Yeah.
But it's easy to sit here and go, oh, my God, the Padres organization blew it, man.
Yeah, Clase,
10 former
Munoz.
Padres.
Look, there's a number. Yeah.
The Munoz one hurts. Yeah. I will say that. Doesn't seem like the Padres got a whole hell of a lot for Munoz other than, you know, a couple of months of a struggling Aaron Nola. Or Austin Nola. I always say the wrong Nola. I got the solution to the Padres starting pitching problems for the second half.
Okay.
Since you came in with some breaking news, I'm going to come in with solutions.
Okay.
How would you like a guy on your staff that 13 months ago pitched a perfect game in Major League Baseball?
Domingo Herman?
He's available. The right-hander has exercised an opt-out clause in his contract and has been released by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Herman was a AAA Indianapolis this year. My goodness, guys fall.
Well,
and how
fast they fall. Chris, he wasn't all that good aside from the perfect game.
I know, but he still put, either was...
which was caught by Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah.
And that perfecto was in Oakland, too. So you also got to take...
You're saying that shouldn't count?
It really counts as it absolutely counts as
a perfect game, but it's not like he shut out the Astros.
Herman's all-time record is 31-28 with a 4.41 ERA over 89 starts. So he did have an 18-4 season in 2019, but that season ended early because he was placed on administrative leave for domestic violence allegations. He also was suspended for 18 or 20 more games for, I think he didn't have drinking issues. Anyway, let's just steer clear of Domingo Herman. I'm just bringing it up as kind of an aside.
Yeah, look, it's just on the starting pitching question. And by the way, as an aside, we have got to, I think, as a sport, we've been talking about the trade deadline for a month already, and it's still 2 weeks away. Every podcast I listen to, all this, we talk about the deadline, to me, like 4 weeks too early.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway. When is the actual deadline? I don't even know.
August 1st.
August 1st.
Yeah.
So we've got two weeks.
3 p.m. Pacific, I think.
2 weeks of action.
Yeah, still
two weeks.
And by the way, the Arise deal, it was the anomaly of a trade that just kind of happens out of nowhere that's really notable.
Right.
But most of this stuff happens, you know, in the 48 hours leading up to the deadline.
There's only been two notable trades all season in baseball. We made them both.
Yeah.
All right, we got a timeout here. A couple of people on the lines that wanted to check in on the Padres and their thoughts on the first half and what we got to do to be successful in the second half. We'll get back to some phone calls, 833-288-0973, after this. Matt Waldron will kick off the second half of the Padres season. That news was broken on this very program by our Sam Levitt. Actually, not. I'm sure you just read it from something else. But
well,
you told the masses
not,
out there about it, right?
Yeah, I was not the first to tweet it.
Yeah. You got it out there quickly, though.
I could have been.
Sam Levitt, by the way, Sam, when you tweet something,
yes,
in general,
yes,
just kind of like some sort of statistic or
yes,
anomaly, how many likes do you normally get?
It totally depends on what it is.
Because you are one of the social media darlings.
Yeah,
but I'm not.
I'm more of a darling on the other platforms than I am Twitter. But I mean, it depends on. It depends on what I tweet.
He says I'm more of a darling on the other platforms.
I have my big tweets, but I also have plenty of tweets that are living in the under 100 like range.
Yeah. Well, when I get over 100, I think that's a successful tweet.
Not all my tweets are, you know, Picasso.
Anything over 100 and I feel like, you know, the people really like me out there. I get really disappointed when I tweet something that I think is interesting and only like 60 guys like 60
well,
guys
and
gals
I,
like
and
it.
I thought, I mean, of this first half of the season, if you want to talk about, you know, real storylines, mm-hmm. I thought you, as a media member, as somebody who watches, observes, comments on the San Diego Padres, you were all over the numbers against left-handed pitching like none other.
I did a lot of that. Thankfully, they finally put an end to that by scoring some runs against left-handed pitching.
I also stopped keeping track.
Yes, it lasted far too long, though. It really, truly did. So, all right. Is Isaac still there? Yeah, Isaac. Well, he's online, too. Can you bring that up? Now you can. Isaac, sorry for making you wait. Welcome to the show. Give me a little thought or two on the Padres first half and what you're hoping for.
It's fine. I don't mind the wait. But, like, my thoughts is that, there's a lot. The big difference between this season and last season, what I've seen, is that we've actually been doing good on extra innings, which is good. And, like, these walk-offs, especially the big comeback game against the Cubs. Sure, it's been, like, iffy or bumpy, kind of like Edwards are not doing so good, times are not doing so good. But as we enter the summer, Jackson Merrill's been awesome. Everyone's been getting the hits in. Machado's been fighting off these pitches, like probably over 10 or almost 10 pitches, and getting these homers and even the walk-off against the D-backs. The first half of the season, I'd say mostly good. And these last 2 weeks, actually managed to stay above 500. For the second half, I'm hoping for our bullpen to, like, work better under pressure, you know, the thing is, Peralta, as you said earlier in the show, they haven't been playing their full potential, and hopefully, like, he improves on that. And, like, Kolek, every time he walked up to the mound, I got scared because he wasn't that good against the first half, and then all of a sudden, he's, like, a big 180, like, oh my God, this guy's actually doing really good. So I can definitely see this team getting into the postseason. It's just that, like, you know, getting to the World Series is, like, going to be definitely a challenge because everyone else is doing really good. And if we ever go against the Phillies again, I hope we go and get the same Phillies we played on Sunday, you know? So that's just me. Overall, like, it's baseball. Anything can happen.
Well, that is surely the case. I mean, the Padres proved that 2 years ago. And the Diamondbacks proved it last year, and the Rangers proved it last year. The Rangers were, you go back to last season on the Rangers,
stumbling.
Sam, they got off to a pretty nice start, but they were awful.
They limped in.
In August and September. Yeah, Bochy was about ready to call it a season.
They led the American League West. I don't remember if it was quite wire to wire, but it was close.
Well, they ended up tied with the Astros, and they lost their last game, which cost them the division title.
Right.
They had to go in as a wild card.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they just ripped off about 15 straight wins, and they were the champs. It was like, whoa, where'd that come from? So, yeah, baseball does leave it wide open out there. Isaac, thanks for the phone call. You know, speaking of tweets, I just decided while we were sitting here to go through some of my tweets. And guess what? I'm looking, and I haven't looked at them all, but over the last month or so, Sam, here's my most popular tweet with 157 likes, which is kind of a paltry number when you think about it. But here it is. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Me. What if he hits one in the seats here, Sammy?
Yeah.
Sam Levitt smiles and shakes his head. Next pitch, a swing and a drive. You got to believe in the magic season of Jurickson Profar. That's one of the highlight moments of the year, his grand slam.
Absolutely.
Against the Nationals after everything that happened in that game that night.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. But from a Padres perspective, yeah, I thought that was, and it has been now for a week or two, but that was one of the coolest moments of last night, was watching him with his big smile take the field and enjoy it and back in Arlington and all of it. And look, I don't know that any of us could have predicted this in February or March, but when you talk about keys to the Padres' second half, do not overlook Jurickson Profar continuing to be what he's been. They need him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been way too important for this team for him to not continue to play at some kind of level like what he's been. They need him.
They need it. All right, we got a couple of minutes here, Sam, before you move on. But we really appreciate you sitting in for a couple of hours today and helping us out. We've got Chris versus the fans at the top of the hour. But here's a list, according to Mark Feinsand of MLB.com, the spectacular Mark Feinsand of MLB.com. Here's a list of seven All-Stars who he says could be on the move by the trade deadline. I want to run down each of the seven, and then whether you think they'll be traded and how they relate to the Padres, if they relate to them at all.
Okay.
Number one, Tyler Anderson, left-handed pitcher, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's 8-8, but has a 2.97 ERA. He's owed $5 million the rest of this season. He gets $13 million next year. But if you're looking for a good starting pitcher that probably wouldn't rob your bank, is Tyler Anderson somebody
very interested
that you're interested
very
in?
Very interested. Not going to cost a ton. Probably won't cost you a ton of prospect capital either.
Right.
Very interested.
But money. He's going to cost you money because it's $5 million and $13
million.
Well,
the rest of this, yeah, but they could absorb,
they could absorb
a little bit
that.
Under $5 million. The $13 million for next year, I'd like to think that they wouldn't be prohibited from that. It's not,
Tyler
that,
Anderson,
not very much for
Tyler
a starting
Anderson,
pitcher.
Tyler Anderson made the All-Star team this year. It's the second time in the last 3 years. He made it with the Dodgers in 2022, and he was 15-5 with a 2.57 ERA. I got to be honest with you, that worries me just a tiny bit about Tyler Anderson that he pitched for the Dodgers 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want a Dodger on the roster. It's that I feel like they might have some familiarity with him if they, you know, because I'm thinking about how are we going to stack up against the Dodgers.
Well, you have to play the Dodgers two more series, one at home and one in L.A.
Yeah.
That's before you even start worrying about a postseason scenario.
Yeah. Tyler Anderson, yeah, he's been pretty good.
There's a chance he wouldn't even face the Dodgers.
All right, Tyler Anderson's number one. Number two, Garrett Crochet. We've heard this name 1,000 times already. Since April, ERA 1.61. He leads the majors in strikeouts with 150. Only 23 walks. That's impressive, I must say. 150 against 23. However, prior to the season, he'd only pitched 85 innings in his career. This year, he's already thrown 107. 25 years old. The White Sox have been real good to the Padres in the past.
Yeah.
Hello, Fernando. Is Crochet on your radar?
Look, I've said it before. I'm sort of out on Crochet
out
for the Padres. In their particular scenario, I think you need starting pitching. I think that's the top priority right now for this team.
Okay.
To me, here in 2024, at some point here soon, he's probably going to be in your bullpen. Now, the thing with him is that he's got 2 years of control after this one, and that is considerable. That's important. Could he be an absolute ace for your staff the next couple of years? Yeah, but I think on top of that, number one, there's not a ton of starting pitchers out there, great starting pitchers, Chris. It's going to be a huge package. I mean, if you're talking Crochet, you're talking, I think, about parting ways with one of your major, major guys.
You're like thinking that we
like
might hear...
Like DeVries.
Really?
I think that's
so
the
you
kind
think
of
to
package
get Crochet,
it's going
to require. You're going to have to require
so
that.
So
you're out.
To me, I'm out on it. I think you need more than Crochet for this year. I understand you have the control. Can you make the argument that having the 2 years of control for who he could be in the next couple of years is worth giving up one of your top guys? Maybe there is an argument to that. I don't know.
Before we continue with the countdown,
traffic?
Frank says we need traffic.
Okay.
All right, we got five more guys on this list that MLB.com says could be very well traded by the deadline. Sam Levitt has said yes. He'd be real interested in Tyler Anderson. He's out on Garrett Crochet. By the way, there's one other reason that I don't I'm not a fan of Crochet, even though this isn't his fault. He's yet to pitch a game that meant a darn thing anywhere in his career. And all of a sudden now he's going to be going, let's say, into Dodger Stadium with a playoff spot on the line, and all he's been doing is playing games in anger with Chicago. And, that always bothers me a little.
Yeah, and I think, and I know we got more on the list, I think when people talk about the Padres and Crochet, I think people have to understand the kind of package it's going to require. And I don't know that people quite understand it. It's going to have to be a major package because he's really good. He's got the years of control, and it's a market where there's not a ton of guys like him and others. I think it's got to be a huge package.
Yeah, probably too much. All right, number three, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now, that name certainly raises an eyebrow. He's been in the All-Stars four straight years. He bounced back after a slow start. He's up to an 815 OPS. He is under club control through the end of 2025.
This team does not need another infielder.
But it would really be intriguing to add a slugger of his potential to your lineup. But I just don't know what you would do with him. So I agree with you.
You would have to...
You'd have to almost include somebody in the trade.
Well, to me, my first thought is this. And again, but why would the Blue Jays take a Ha-Sung Kim?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because to me, then it's like, okay, well, Bogarts could play short. Cronenworth could play second. Vladdy could play first. Then arises your DH.
Would but they also have Bo Bichette right now.
You know, you would have to include something...
Yeah.
To make it work with your current team.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Number four, Mason Miller. Closer. Oakland A's. Throws a hundo. Jackson Merrill took him deep to win a ball game earlier this year. He would be an intriguing eighth inning prospect or, you know, tantalizing.
Yeah.
But I think, again, this guy's under control for five more years.
The A's
are not smart, but they're not stupid enough to just give him away for nothing.
Well, here's my thing. Like, what are the A's doing?
I don't know.
That's
why you got to call on Mason Miller. You know, they might just be so stupid they do something.
Miller is such a weird one to me because it's like, if you're the A's, you don't have to move him at this deadline, right? You could move him a year from now and still get a huge package back for him because he's going to have 4 years of control left.
Yeah.
But I guess if you are just viewing it as we have no need for somebody this good because we're not any good, maybe the thing to do is at his absolute highest value with as many years of control possible left. Look, if you're the Padres could use him, they could use relief help.
Oh, yeah, they could use this guy.
That's going to be another big package, though.
Stupid A's will ask for a lot.
Sure, I would take Mason Miller, yes.
Next one, Isaac Paredes. Third base, Tampa Bay Rays.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's having a nice year. Hit 30 bombs last year, 15 so far this year. Everybody's talking about the Rays are going to maybe part with some guys. But again, unless you're going to include somebody in the deal, you're not going to have any place for him. Tanner Scott, left-handed reliever.
Interesting.
Miami Marlins.
Very
the
good.
Only Marlin All-Star representative. Does Luis Arraez go in and say, hey, bring me my man, Tanner Scott, pitch the eighth inning?
Yeah, I would be very interested in Tanner Scott. Very, very good reliever.
Had a 1.34 ERA in the first half, converted 14 of 16. It's not bad. He's only owed $2.5 million or $2.25.
Yeah,
he does hit free agency, though, this fall.
It's fine.
So, all right, I'm just throwing that out there.
Very interesting.
Last guy, we loved him earlier. Do we love him now? Kirby Yates.
Interested.
He's having a nice year. 105 is the ERA for Kirby. I'm so happy that he's back.
They could use
after three
help.
Or 4 years down. But
to me, and
would Kirby want to come here and set up Suarez?
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe he wants to be the closer. Maybe he's got a little Josh Hader in him.
Hmm.
I'm just throwing a dart in the direction of Josh Hader.
Hold on. Is Kirby the closer in Texas right now?
Sure.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the guy.
Oh.
Been the guy all year. He's having a great year. All right. So those are your seven guys that should be moved before the All-Star break, according to MLB.com's Mark Feinsand. Sounded like of all those seven, Tyler Anderson was the guy you wanted the most.
Just yeah, well, I put a premium on starting pitching for this particular group right now.
Yeah.
But I, in an overall sense, when you talk about Anderson, Scott, Yates, like, to me, if I'm AJ Preller, that's the pool I'm living in. Can I keep my top prospects, add to this team, hope guys get healthy, and make a late run?
833-288-0973. That is the phone number.
For all I know, Garrett Crochet is going to be here in 2 weeks. So.
He might be here today. He might already be under the desk somewhere. 833-288-0973. We're going to do a little Chris versus the fan. Or is it Sammy versus the fan?
We could do that. I could stay for one more.
Oh, no. Sammy might want to stay for some Chris versus the fan. Dial in 833-288-0973.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Waldron will kick off the second half of the Padres season. That news was broken on this very program by our Sam Levitt. Actually, not. I'm sure you just read it from something else, but
well,
you told
I
the masses
not,
out there about it, right?
Yeah, I was not the first to tweet it.
Yeah. You got it out there quickly, though.
I could have been.
Sam Levitt, by the way, Sam, when you tweet something,
Yes.
In general.
Yes.
Just kind of like some sort of statistic or
yes.
anomaly. How many likes do you normally get?
It totally depends on what it is.
Because you are one of the social media darlings.
Yeah,
of San Diego.
I'm more of a darling on the other platforms than I am Twitter. But I mean, it depends on what I tweet.
He says I'm more of a darling on the other platform.
I have my big tweets, but I also have plenty of tweets that are living in the under 100 like range.
Yeah. Well, when I get over 100, I think that's a successful tweet.
Not all my tweets are, you know, Picasso.
Anything over 100 and I feel like, you know, the people really like me out there. I get really disappointed when I tweet something that I think is interesting and only like 60 guys and gals like it.
And I thought, I mean, of this first half of the season, if you want to talk about, you know, real storylines, mm-hmm. I thought you as a media member, as somebody who watches, observes, comments on the San Diego Padres, you were all over the numbers against left-handed pitching like none other.
I did a lot of that. Thankfully, they finally put an end to that by scoring some runs against left-handed pitching.
I also stopped keeping track.
Yes, it lasted far too long, though. It really, truly did. So, all right. Is Isaac still there? Yeah, Isaac. Well, he's online, too. Can you bring that up? Now you can. Isaac, sorry for making you wait. Welcome to the show. Give me a little thought or two on the Padres' first half and what you're hoping for.
It's fine. I don't mind the wait. But, like, my thoughts is that, there's a lot. The big difference between this season and last season, what I've seen, is that we've actually been doing good on extra innings, which is good. And, like, these walk-offs, especially the big comeback game against the Cubs. Sure, it's been, like, iffy or bumpy, kind of like Edwards are not doing so good, Tigers are not doing so good. But as we enter the summer, Jackson Merrill's been awesome. Everyone's been getting the hits in. Machado's been fighting off these pitches, like probably over 10 or almost 10 pitches, and getting these homers and even the walk-off against the D-backs. The first half of the season, I'd say mostly good. In these last few weeks, I actually managed to stay above 500. For the second half, I'm hoping for our bullpen to, like, work better under pressure, you know, the thing is, Peralta, as you said earlier in the show, they haven't been, like, playing their full potential, and hopefully, like, he improves on that. And, like, Kolek, every time he walked up to the mound, I got scared because he wasn't that good against the first half, and then all of a sudden, he's, like, a big 180, he's like, oh my gosh, this guy's actually doing really good. So I can definitely see this team getting into the postseason. It's just that, like, you know, getting to the World Series is, like, going to be definitely a challenge because everyone else is doing really good. And if we ever go against the Phillies again, I hope we get the same Phillies we play on Sunday, you know? So that's just me. Overall, like, it's baseball. Anything could happen.
Well, that is surely the case. I mean, the Padres proved that 2 years ago. And the Diamondbacks proved it last year, and the Rangers proved it last year. The Rangers were... You go back to last season on the Rangers,
stumbling.
Sam. They got off to a pretty nice start, but they were awful.
They limped in.
In August and September. Yeah, yeah. Bochy was about ready to call it a season.
They led the American League West. I don't remember if it was quite wire to wire, but it was close.
Well, they ended up tied with the Astros. Right. And they lost their last game, which cost them the division title.
Right.
They had to go in as a wild card.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they just ripped off about 15 straight wins, and they were the champs. It was like, whoa, where'd that come from? So, yeah, baseball does leave it wide open out there. Isaac, thanks for the phone call. You know, speaking of tweets, I just decided while we were sitting here to go through some of my tweets. And guess what? I'm looking, and I haven't looked at them all, but over the last month or so, Sam, here's my most popular tweet with 157 likes, which is kind of a paltry number when you think about it. But here it is. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Me. What if he hits one in the seats here, Sammy?
Yeah.
Sam Levitt smiles and shakes his head. Next pitch, a swing and a drive. You got to believe in the magic season of Jurickson Profar. That's one of the highlight moments of the year. his grand slam.
Absolutely.
Against the Nationals after everything that happened in that game that night.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but from a Padres perspective, yeah, I thought that was, and it has been now for a week or two, but that was one of the coolest moments of last night, was watching him with his big smile take the field and enjoy it, and back in Arlington and all of it. And look, I don't know that any of us could have predicted this in February or March, but when you talk about keys to the Padres' second half, do not overlook Jurickson Profar continuing to be what he's been. They need him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been way too important for this team for him to not continue to play at some kind of level like what he's been. They need him.
They need it. All right, we got a couple of minutes here, Sam, before you move on. But we really appreciate you sitting in for a couple of hours today and helping us out. We've got Chris versus the fans at the top of the hour. But here's a list, according to Mark Feinsand of MLB.com, the spectacular Mark Feinsand of MLB.com. Here's a list of seven all-stars who he says could be on the move by the trade deadline. I want to run down each of the seven, and then whether you think they'll be traded and how they relate to the Padres, if they relate to them at all.
Okay.
Number one, Tyler Anderson, left-handed pitcher, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's 8-8, but has a 2.97 ERA. He's owed $5 million the rest of this season. He gets $13 million next year. But if you're looking for a good starting pitcher that probably wouldn't rob your bank, is Tyler Anderson somebody?
Very interested.
That you're interested
very
in?
Very interested. Not going to cost a ton. Probably won't cost you a ton of prospect capital either.
Right.
Very interested.
But money. He's going to cost you money because it's $5 million and $13 million.
Well, the rest
million.
Of this, yeah, but they could absorb,
they could absorb
a little bit
that.
Under $5 million. The $13 million for next year, I'd like to think that they wouldn't be prohibited from that. It's not,
Tyler
that,
Anderson,
not very much for
Tyler
a starting
Anderson,
pitcher.
Tyler Anderson made the All-Star team this year. It's the second time in the last 3 years. He made it with the Dodgers in 2022, and he was 15-5 with a 2.57 ERA. I got to be honest with you, that worries me just a tiny bit about Tyler Anderson, that he pitched for the Dodgers 2 years ago. Yeah. It's not that I don't want a Dodger on the roster. It's that I feel like they might have some familiarity with him if they, you know, because I'm thinking about how are we going to stack up against the Dodgers.
Well, you have to play the Dodgers two more series, one at home and one in L.A.
Yeah.
That's before you even start worrying about a postseason scenario.
Yeah. Tyler Anderson, he's been pretty good.
There's a chance he wouldn't even face the Dodgers.
All right, Tyler Anderson's number one. Number two, Garrett Crochet. We've heard this name 1,000 times already. Since April, ERA 1.61. He leads the majors in strikeouts with 150. Only 23 walks. That's impressive, I must say. 150 against 23. However, prior to the season, he'd only pitched 85 innings in his career. This year, he's already thrown 107. 25 years old. The White Sox have been real good to the Padres in the past.
Yeah.
Hello, Fernando. Is Crochet on your radar?
Look, I've said it before. I'm sort of out on Crochet.
Out.
For the Padres. In their particular scenario, I think you need starting pitching. I think that's the top priority right now for this team. Okay. To me, here in 2024, at some point here soon, he's probably going to be in your bullpen. Now, the thing with him is that he's got 2 years of control after this one, and that is considerable. That's important. Could he be an absolute ace for your staff the next couple of years? Yeah, but I think on top of that, number one, there's not a ton of starting pitchers out there, great starting pitchers, Chris. It's going to be a huge package. I mean, if you're talking Crochet, you're talking, I think, about parting ways with one of your major, major guys.
You're like thinking that we
like
might hear
DeVries.
Really?
I think that's
so
the
you
kind
think
of package
to get Crochet,
it's
you're going to have to you're going to have to require
so
that.
So that's
you're out.
To me, I'm out on it.
Okay.
I think you need more than Crochet for this year. I understand you have the control. Can you make the argument that having the 2 years of control for who he could be in the next couple of years is worth giving up one of your top guys? Maybe there is an argument to that. I don't know.
Before we continue with the countdown,
traffic?
Frank says we need traffic.
Okay.
All right, we got five more guys on this list that MLB.com says could be very well traded by the deadline. Sam Levitt has said yes. He'd be real interested in Tyler Anderson. He's out on Garrett Crochet. By the way, there's one other reason that I'm not a fan of Crochet, even though this isn't his fault. He's yet to pitch a game that meant a darn thing anywhere in his career.
Sure.
And all of a sudden now he's going to be going, let's say, into Dodger Stadium with a playoff spot on the line, and all he's been doing is playing games in anger with Chicago. And that always bothers me a little.
Yeah, and I think, and I know we got more on the list, I think when people talk about the Padres and Crochet, I think people have to understand the kind of package it's going to require. And I don't know that people quite understand it. It's going to have to be a major package because he's really good. He's got the years of control, and it's a market where there's not a ton of guys like him and others. I think it's got to be a huge package.
Yeah, probably too much. All right, number three, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now, that name certainly raises an eyebrow. He's been in the All-Stars four straight years. He bounced back after a slow start. He's up to an .815 OPS. He is under club control through the end of 2025.
This team does not need another infielder.
But it would really be intriguing to add a slugger of his potential to your lineup. But I just don't know what you would do with him. So I agree with you.
You would have to...
You'd have to almost include somebody in the trade.
Well, to me, my first thought is this. And again, but why would the Blue Jays take a Ha-Sung Kim?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because to me, then it's like, okay, well, Bogarts could play short, Cronenworth could play second, Vladdy could play first, then Arise is your DH.
Would but make they also some have Bo Bichette why, right now.
You know, you would have to include something...
Yeah.
To make it work with your current team.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Number four, Mason Miller. Closer. Oakland A's. Throws a hundo. Jackson Merrill took him deep to win a ballgame earlier this year. He would be an intriguing eighth inning prospect or, you know, tantalizing.
Yeah.
But I think, again, this guy's under control for five more years.
The A's
are not smart, but they're not stupid enough to just give him away for nothing.
Well, here's my thing. Like, what are the A's doing?
I don't know.
That's
why you got to call on Mason Miller. You know, they might just be so stupid they do something.
Miller is such a weird one to me because it's like, if you're the A's, you don't have to move him at this deadline, right? You could move him a year from now and still get a huge package back for him because what, he's going to have 4 years of control left?
Yeah.
But I guess if you are just viewing it as we have no need for somebody this good because we're not any good, maybe the thing to do is at his absolute highest value with as many years of control possible left. Look, if you're the Padres could use him. They could use relief help.
Oh, yeah, they could use this guy.
That's going to be another big package, though.
Stupid A's will ask for a lot.
Sure, I would take Mason Miller, yes.
Next one, Isaac Paredes. Third base, Tampa Bay Rays.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's having a nice year. Hit 30 bombs last year, 15 so far this year. Everybody's talking about the Rays are going to maybe part with some guys. But again, unless you're going to include somebody in the deal, you're not going to have any place for him. Tanner Scott, left-handed reliever.
Interesting.
Miami Marlins.
Very
good.
The
only Marlin All-Star representative. Does Luis Arraez go in and say, hey, bring me my man, Tanner Scott, to pitch the eighth inning?
Yeah, I would be very interested in Tanner Scott. Very, very good reliever.
Had a 1.34 ERA in the first half, converted 14 to 16. It's not bad. He's only owed $2.5 million or $2.25.
Yeah,
he does hit free agency, though, this fall.
It's fine.
So, all right, I'm just throwing that out there.
Very interesting.
Last guy, we loved him earlier. Do we love him now? Kirby Yates.
Interested.
He's having a nice year.
Very
105 is the ERA for Kirby. I'm so happy that he's back.
They could use
after three or four years down. But
yeah, to me, and
would Kirby want to come here and set up Suarez?
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe he wants to be the closer. Maybe he's got a little Josh Hader in him. Hmm. I'm just throwing a dart in the direction of Josh Hader.
Hold on. Is Kirby the closer in Texas right now?
Sure.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the guy.
Oh.
Been the guy all year. He's having a great year. All right. So those are seven guys that should be moved before the All-Star break, according to MLB.com's Mark Feinsand. Sounded like of all those seven, Tyler Anderson was the guy you wanted the most.
I put a premium on starting pitching for this particular group right now.
Yeah.
But in an overall sense, when you talk about Anderson, Scott, Yates, like, to me, if I'm AJ Preller, that's the pool I'm living in. Can I keep my top prospects, add to this team, hope guys get healthy, and make a late run?
833-288-0973. That is the phone number.
For all I know, Garrett Crochet is going to be here in 2 weeks. So.
He might be here today. He might already be under the desk somewhere. 833-288-0973. We're going to do a little Chris versus the Fan. Or is it Sammy versus the Fan?
We could do that. I could stay for one more.
Oh, no. Sammy might want to stay for some Chris versus the Fan. Dial in 833-288-0973.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.